Hello and good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to Mitaki Green Chapel International English Service. My name is Grace Makoha. I come from Kenya and I've been coming to this church for slightly over 9 years now. But I've never stood here to give a sermon, and I've given testimonies and I've led the service. And I want to begin by thanking the pastors of this church. It's not easy to entrust someone to stand on the pulpit. I respect this place. It's not a place for jokes. It's not a place to say your own things. It's a place of honor to God. And so I really say thank you to Pastor Hiroshi, Pastor Chris, and Pastor Kevin, and everyone else for entrusting me with this time. I'm really praying for God's grace to guide me. I give testimonies, but I found myself difficult to organize them into a sermon. But I pray that God will be able to bless you today. And for those of us who are watching online, I've shared with my friends, I've told them, tune in, listen to me. And of course, the members of this church who always watch online, I welcome you. I saw like 7 of us who are watching the last time I checked. I pray that God will touch your heart today and God will change you. We come here because we want to be changed. We want to become better. That is why we come here. So when you go home and know that I got something today that will help me be more like Christ, be like better than I was yesterday. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this afternoon as we share your word. The Bible says the word of God is a double-edged sword piercing through our hearts. And as it's piercing through the hearts of my listeners, I pray that it also pierces my own heart. Lord, anything that I want to say today that you don't wish your people to hear, take it away from my lips and just give me your word, your timely word for everyone who is here today. I pray for those who are here and maybe they have not received you as Lord and Savior, that God today they will say yes to you and not delay anymore. Those who are watching online, bless them, Lord, wherever they are. May they also benefit from your bread of life today. We were singing, you are the bread of life. We are hungry for you. We are thirsty for you. So fill us, God. Fill our cup. Let it be overflowing that we can be able to go and change the world that is around us, that is in desperate need of our Savior, oh God, and hope. Give me wisdom to speak your word and divide it in a way that, God, you want it to be delivered to your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm still old school, so I still write notes in a book. That's where I'm going to read today. And I want to talk about spiritual discipline. Last week, we had groups of ladies and gents, and we were talking about Isaiah 61, which I had been studying that week, and since our pastor was not there, I felt like let's discuss that in our groups. I didn't study it enough to be able to give a sermon as had been requested by some of us, but I hope that another time I can be able to talk about Isaiah chapter 61. So please forgive me if you're expecting me to talk about Isaiah 61. I chose this topic of spiritual discipline because it has also been on my heart for some time. And I remember about a month ago, it was myself, Tim, Pastor Chris, and Austin. We were talking about one of the spiritual disciplines. And that time, a desire arose in me that maybe God wants to lead us as a church into doing more of spiritual disciplines, not just individually, but even as a group. We can pray together as a group. We can fast together as a group, especially when you find it difficult to practice these things individually. We can do them either as a whole church or in small groups. And so I had that burden, and I said, I hope Pastor Chris will have some time to talk about it. Of course, Pastor Chris has been preaching the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, I can just call it spiritual discipline because it's not all about salvation. It's for people who are already in Christ. And the Bible is just telling us things we can do to maintain spiritual disciplines in our lives. So today I want to talk about spiritual discipline. And for those who don't know Jesus Christ, this message may not really be appropriate for you because the first discipline you have to make is to give your life to Jesus. So I'm glad you can listen to me, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the first step is to say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, and then walk with him on these lines. So I welcome you. Listen, the message also will bless you because some of these things are the ones which might lead you to salvation if we don't know Jesus. So our scripture today will be Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I'm using NIV except where I indicate the version I'm using. It's a very short scripture, so like Pastor Chris does, I want to copy him a little. I want us to read it all together. So I have it on the PowerPoint. If you have it in your Bible, that's also good. Could we please read together Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 3? Say no. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Amen. That's the word of God. I know you've read this story before. I don't know what you think about when you read this story. But I'm not actually even teaching about this story. I just gave this story because Jesus became human and lived the way we live. In that he felt hungry, he felt thirsty, he felt pain. To show us that if he was able to go through that and make it, we can also make it. So I picked this verse because I'll make references to it during the spiritual disciplines that I'll be talking about. And also to keep reminding you that if Jesus did it, I can do it. He can give me the strength to do it. And Jesus sets an example for us so that we can do it. Spiritual disciplines are not something easy, as I will explain to you in the next slide. I don't know what you think about when you hear the word discipline. For someone like me who is a mother or a parent, we think about disciplining our children. I have to take the phone from Joyce sometimes. She uses the phone because we need to communicate as she's alone, I'm away. But sometimes I've had to tell her, no, keep it away. If they are younger children, you give them time out. When your child is misbehaving, tell them to go in their room for 10 minutes. That's discipline. For athletes, people who do sports, discipline is about training yourself. It's really hot now, but can you imagine there are people who are jogging even in this heat? Like 4 p.m., I meet people are running. I'm like, I want to be in my house in the AC. But someone is training because that's discipline for them. Diet. Some of you are doing diets. I saw Tim's lunch today. Please show us your lunch. It's only salad. It takes discipline to eat only vegetables. It's not easy. There are so many nice things out there. It takes discipline. And then for us who are working in Japan or students, we have our bosses. When he mentions the word discipline, you know things are not good. You have to obey rules. That's the kind of image of discipline. But the truth of the matter is, spiritual discipline, it has a whole new meaning because it brings a lot more joy than most of the examples listed above. You may endure pain during the discipline, but the fulfillment you get, the result of it, is really amazing. You'll find joy, inner joy. Not just be happy. You may not be happy, but you'll find joy. So what is spiritual discipline? I just gave it my own definition. I say these are practices that we impose on ourselves to make us spiritually fit or healthy. The same way he's eating a salad to keep his body healthy. There are things you have to impose. I intentionally use the word impose because these are not things that someone will tell you to do. You have to make a decision by yourself. Today I'm going to pray at lunchtime instead of having lunch. That's a decision you made, yourself and God. We put structure in our lives so as to be intentional in our quest to grow spiritually. We want to grow spiritually. You are here because you want to grow spiritually. You're denying yourself something good out there. Today there is a match going on. I know Miwa loves CAP, and she's a real fan of CAP. Every church member here knows. The game is going on. She should have been there right now. But she's disciplining herself to come and sit down and listen to this Kenyan girl here. You know, so we even coming here is a level of spiritual discipline. It's not a deep level, but it's a level of spiritual discipline. But please take note that spiritual disciplines do not earn us salvation. The Bible says in Ephesians, I quoted it there, we are saved by grace, not by works. And so you're not doing anything to earn salvation or favor with God. You have already been saved. Spiritual discipline is for your spiritual muscles. And so it's just to enhance your relationship with God, to make you go deeper. As Christians, we aspire to go deeper with our relationship with God. And we learn from biblical people and even real life people who experience God. And you say, I want to see God the way this lady sees God, the way this man talks with God and hears from God. I'll give you personal examples of people I know in my life who practice spiritual disciplines, and I've seen them work in their lives in amazing ways. So I'm going to talk about five habits for a spiritually disciplined life. You know these things. You've already heard them. There's nothing new. And these are not the only ones. There are many spiritual disciplines that are not mentioned today, but I just had to structure it down to 5 points. The habit of prayer, the habit of meditation, the habit of generosity, the habit of stillness, the habit of fasting. Then I'll finally conclude by giving a caution about spiritual habits, because you have to really be cautious about this habit. I'll start with the habit of prayer. I'll give you a personal testimony first before I talk about it. You know, disciplines, I equate them like to sacrifice, because disciplines are not things you're doing every day, normally, regularly. Disciplines are things that you do in extra, like extra, to your normal Christian life. We pray. I say the prayer with Joyce every time before we eat. I know it's not all Christians who do that, but we strictly do that because my mother taught me to do that. We pray in the morning when we wake up. We pray in the evening before sleeping. But when you have an extra time of prayer besides your regular one, that is a discipline, because it's taking sacrifice. It's taking energy and time. And so yesterday we were at the station. Before we left our house, I took Joyce to the pool yesterday, Chupi Pool, which is in Miyajima. And usually Joyce will pray in the morning. I've taught her to do her devotions and prayer, and I'll do the same. But sometimes I feel the Spirit of God leading us to pray again just before we leave the house. I talk about my mother a lot because most of these things I learned from her. And she's maybe the Christian whom I've watched more and practically seen the work of God in her life. So please forgive me when I talk about her so much, because I know there are biblical examples, but sometimes we want human examples whom we have seen and heard. So my mother always prayed. She would pray in the morning, in the evening she'll pray. Before we go out, she'll pray. When we arrive from an outing, she'd say, let's pray before we settle down. She was just excessively prayerful. So yesterday, just before we leave the house, I tell Joyce, let's pray before we go to catch the train. I don't do it always, but sometimes I do because I'm led to pray. So we said a short prayer and we left our house. We got on the train and we went to Hiroshima Station, and we knew our train is 10:31. And so I checked the train, we buy the tickets, we go and sit down on the train. There were so many people, but we could find 2 seats and we sit down. And then we are sitting. The train should be coming in like 5 minutes or so. Just when we are sitting like that, I put my eyes outside and I see Sambansen, Nibansen, platform 3, platform 2. We are supposed to be riding the train on platform 1, so we are in the wrong train. And just a few minutes, the train has to leave. I tell Joyce, we are on the wrong train and we've packed our luggage. You know, when we are going swimming, we carry a lot of stuff. Let's get our stuff. We have to go. We are on the wrong train. And you know, we have to go. If you've gone to Hiroshima Station, you know, once you're on the platforms, you have to go up again before you get to the other platform. And so we have to get and then go back to platform 1. And then we just giri-giri, we find our train and it leaves. And I'm like, the other train we were riding was going to Hiro, which is opposite from Miyajima, you know that. Then I told Joyce, why do I feel that the prayer we made just before leaving has worked out something for us? I don't know. But I feel like there are so many things we miss by not praying extra prayers. You can do it and God will do things in your life. This is just how I see God working. I don't say we were lucky, because if we went the opposite direction, we will still come back and wait for the other train. And we were already late. We wanted to be there by 10. It was already 10:30. So I can imagine missing the train, taking the long train, and just that inconvenience. And I know you've seen this kind of things in your life. When you pray and God just makes things happen and you're like, so God answers prayer. So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and when you pray. Every time you see the Bible saying when, it means this is something Christ expects us to do. So I got this quote from C.S. Lewis about prayer. And this is what he says. It's so small, I hope I can see it. In answer to the question, what is your view of the daily discipline of the Christian life, the need of taking time alone with God? We have our New Testament regimental orders upon the subject. I will take it for granted that everyone who becomes a Christian will understand this practice. It is enjoined upon us by our Lord, and since they are his commands, I believe in following them. It is always just possible that Jesus Christ meant what he had what he said when he told us to seek the secret place and to close the door. So I don't know if you have a prayer life or not. If you don't have it, then today is the day for you to start a prayer life. And a prayer life means you become so intentional about it that you make even a plan of doing it, not just randomly. If there's a specific time you can be talking to God, then please do it, because Jesus recommended it, and he knows it will help us a lot in our spiritual pursuit, in loving and following him. Prayer simply means talking to God, then listening to him. It's impossible to focus on God when you don't take time to talk to him. Making prayer a habit may take practice. Honestly speaking, it will take practice before you make it a regular habit. But that shouldn't keep you from pursuing intimacy with God. So pursue intimacy with God. Intimacy means closeness. I know some of our Japanese leaders, some words are very difficult for them. Intimacy means closeness. So pursuing intimacy with God means having time to pray and to seek his face. So I want to ask you today, is there something that makes you not pray? Maybe it's sleep. I love sleeping, honestly speaking. Maybe it's you just don't have interest or passion. Maybe you're just lazy. Maybe you're just busy. We are so busy. Tim, we are so busy. You're quite busy. I'm quite busy. I am a mother. I work full-time. I have conferences. Next week I have a conference. I've not even started preparing for it. We are so busy. But in the busyness of life, God wants you to be specific about your relationship with him. Because even when I'm busy, every time I set aside time to pray in the middle of business, God makes the other things go very well. Actually, he fastens them. The Bible says 1,000 years is like a year to God. He can make you accomplish your tasks much faster when you prioritize him over those tasks. So I can never emphasize enough about prayer. I want to quote someone else. His name is Pastor Charles Stanley. Maybe some of you know him. South Baptist pastor. He passed away a few months ago. I love listening to his sermons. Please go and listen to him. He prayed a lot. And when he's talking about prayer, this is what he says. For you to be so intentional about prayer, if possible, have even a specific place in your house for prayer. In that when it's your time for prayer, you go to that place. It will help you commit to it and do it with all your strength. So those are some of the things I have been listening to him and learning from him about prayer. And when you read about him, please go and read about it. You will see how his life was fruitful, how his ministry was successful. He's been running a church for so many years. And all his sermons, he's full of God's work, how God has used him to touch people. Some of us don't know him, but we are touched by his sermons. And it's all because of his prayer life. So I hope you can incorporate prayer in your life, whichever way God leads you to do it. There is no specific style or specific time. Some of us are morning people. Some of us are evening people. So whichever works with you. Maybe it's you prefer lunchtime during the day. Whatever it is, pray, pray, pray. And you will have closeness and intimacy with God. Next, I want to talk about the habit of meditation. I don't know if you know about meditation. Have you ever practiced meditation? I don't know. Yeah. We have had meditation in other aspects. But there is the Christian way of meditation. What do you meditate upon? You don't just leave your mind blank. We meditate on the word of God. This is a very famous scripture that I know most of you know. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Now here is the trick. I just talked about busyness that keeps us from prayer. Our thoughts. You know, you could be here sitting and looking at me, but you're thinking about so many things. It's not just about you, myself also. Sometimes pastor is here preaching and I'm thinking about my seminar tomorrow. I didn't do this. Our thoughts are very busy with work, school, relationships, raising children, health issues. You're thinking about your health. My goodness, today I ate fried potatoes. How will I get rid of them? You know, bills, there are bills coming, you know. Global pandemics and the situation around the world, and you're like, are we going to live until, you know, Corona was there, and it's like we got scary things, like we are going to die, all of us, the vaccine and everything. You can be sitting down and your thoughts are so full of things. But the Bible encourages us as believers that God wants us to put all these things aside and meditate on his word. So right now, please look at me. I want us to practice meditation. I wrote it there specifically. Maybe you've never done it. Let this be a starting point for you. I want you to pause for a moment. Just pause. Just don't think about anything. Just pause. Take a deep breath. Then as you breathe out, envision laying down whatever worries or distractions that you have that are competing for your attention. Then focus on these words. Don't read them. Just read them in your heart. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Read that like two or three times, just in your heart. And then reflect on the meaning of that verse to you. And then pause again. I want to give you an example. I just picked this scripture because it's just one of the ways you can meditate on scriptures. You just pick a scripture and focus on it quietly and say it two or three times and then reflect on what it means. I have an example of what this scripture means. It's Job 33 verse 4. Our Father, I wrote it somewhere. As you reflect on that passage, consider that your breath, your life is sustained by the one who breathed you into existence. Although life may feel overwhelming at times, you are never far from the God who created and called you by name. That's just an example of reflecting on the meaning of that verse. So we just practiced meditation. Kindly note that meditation is different from Bible study. Bible study is another discipline. I didn't have it today, but it's also a discipline. This church has a Bible plan, a yearly Bible plan, to help us read the Bible every year. It's not imposed on us, but it's highly recommended, especially as a Christian who has been a Christian for years and you consider that you're maturing. It's good to take up a Bible plan and study the Bible. But meditation is a different discipline altogether. Mostly you just meditate on one verse or one chapter, like Psalms 23. You just read, pause, you first allow yourself to calm down. Breathe out and release all distractions. Say, I just don't want to think about my rent, which hasn't been paid. Let me just lay them down for a moment. And then read the scripture in your heart. Read it again as many times as you wish. And then just allow the Spirit of God to help you understand what it means. That's just what meditation is. I don't know if you do it or not, but I highly recommend it for you as a spiritual discipline. David said, thy word have I kept in my heart that I may not sin against you. I think that's Psalms 119. Keeping God's word in your heart involves meditation. It also involves, you can't meditate on what you don't have in your mind. And so you may read and read again, or what I normally recommend and I do with my daughter, and my mother taught me to do it, is memorizing scriptures. You can just take one verse every day, and that will be your meditation for the rest of the day. If this is your verse, if it's John 3:16, meditate on it. Just spend some. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. It could just be 3 minutes or 5 minutes of your day. You meditate on the scripture, and meditation helps us to get refreshed and renewed in our minds. It will help you focus on God's word than focusing on the world around you. That is why it's highly recommended. Sorry, because of time, I just have to go very quickly. But you can ask me for these notes, by the way. If you want them, I can give them to you. You can also talk to me personally. Yeah, for those who are here. The habit of generosity. Oh, God, we just gave offerings. We are sacrificing money to give to the church so that the church can run. I mentioned that spiritual discipline are things that are extra from what we normally do. We give offerings because this church, right now we are being called by the AC. They need to pay bills. They need to finances to run the church. That's why we give offerings. But generosity is an extra step far away from the normal givings that we do. And that's why it's a spiritual discipline, because it takes a lot of sacrifice to give generously. Give generously to support God's work. Give generously to support the needy. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, It's up there on the bulletin. In everything I did, this is Paul speaking, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So my question to you today, do you give? Has God ever laid on your heart to support someone who is in need? Has God ever laid on your heart to support missionaries? There are missionaries in South Asia who are devoting all their life preaching the gospel. Very poor. I'm talking about missionaries in their own countries where the gospel hasn't spread so much. These missionaries are in need of support from Christians around the world. You don't have to go any far. When you search the internet, you'll find trusted Christian organizations who support those missionaries, and they need people like us to support them. Proverbs 19 verse 17 says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. For it to be a spiritual discipline, it means it takes sacrifice. And I want to be cautious about this topic because money is very sensitive. And I don't want to seem like I'm imposing anything on you. Feel free. The Spirit of God will lead you to give, to help. And it's not just money. We can give our time. People need our help, but we are busy. I don't have time. Sorry. You know, it's not just money. You can give time. You can give energy. You can give your gift, something God has gifted you to use. So giving should not just be focused on money. Of course, money is needed most by the needy and the church of God. But think about what else you can give in a sacrificial way to help the body of Christ. Why do I emphasize this point? Jesus' death on the cross is the greatest example of generosity. Despite knowing we could never repay him, God didn't hesitate to give up his greatest treasure, his only son. I want to share a personal testimony with you about giving. I learned about giving when I was still very young. I remember when I was in high school, I started giving from my pocket money. In Kenya, high schools are boarding schools, and so you're given pocket money, money to spend when you're at school until you come back home after, during the holidays. And so I learned about giving and how God meets our needs. Because I wrote something here. Giving helps us realize that I'm not in control. God is, and he can provide for all our needs. One of the things that really puts us in control is money or finances. Oh, I know I have rent for the rest of the year. Oh, I can do shopping for... I am in control. I know I have enough. But sacrificial giving means you let go of control and then trust God to provide. So one time, God laid on my heart to support some missionaries, and I was still a student that time. And I was like, I just get little money for my scholarship. It's not enough for me. How can I support missionaries somewhere? But the need was still there. And so I said, God, I don't know how I'll meet my needs, but I want to trust you with this. Let me start supporting this missionary. I'm sorry, I'm not sharing this to tell you that I'm perfect or good in giving. I'm giving you a personal example because sometimes personal examples help you see more, understand more about what we learn. And so I signed up and said, I'm going to support this missionary with this amount every month. And I just clicked okay, and it went. And I just said, God, you know, one of the things, if you want to give and you don't have, you can trust God to provide. You really feel, I want to help this case, but I don't have. God provide so that I can help. So I signed that thing and I said, God, I want to believe you'll provide or you'll replace whatever I give. Let me just do it by faith. Let me tell you what happened. This is a personal testimony. Within the next few days, I found an envelope on my desk. I was a PhD student. I found an envelope on my desk. No one told me what it is. It's up to me to, and you know it's Japanese. I just open the envelope and I see an amount there. You know, when you foreigners like us, when you receive letters, it's either a bill or when you see money, it's either you paying or you'll be receiving the money. So we make jokes about that on our students' page. Yeah. So I see money, some money. I'm not sure I need to pay or it will be paid to me until I find the meaning later on. The university or the department had decided to offer me a position, a position which doesn't need me to do anything, to just be there in the same lab, just support my boss with experiments and everything. And then they'll be paying me for that. I'm like, I ask my boss, and he doesn't specifically know what it means. But then the money started coming. And that is the exact money I had devoted to support those missionaries. I just took the envelope and said, God, I didn't ask for this. I didn't pray for this, but you amaze me on the way you will bless your people when they generously give. Because God provided. It was exactly what I needed to support those missionaries. And so I had that money until I graduated. I can't even remember exactly what I was doing. They told me it's because you're in the lab. As a PhD student, we expect you to be helping here and there, and so you're paid as either it was research assistant or teaching assistant with no specific role. Why am I sharing that? You can trust God to provide, even when it is not there. And so giving will help you lose control. I know we love to be in control, especially with finances. May God help us to trust him to provide. May he open your eyes to places where he wants you to give and help. And trust him. Just tell him, God, I want to help and I don't have. Please open the door of finances so that I can help. And in all the other ways that you want to help, I need to hurry so that we don't go beyond time. Next, I want to talk about the habit of stillness. Stillness is different from meditation. Meditation means you take a scripture, a Bible verse, say it and ask God to help you to know what it means and take it through like for the whole day. Stillness is just staying calm. You probably even don't have anything with you. You just calm down. The Bible says in Psalms 46, verse 10, you already know this verse, probably most of you. It's Joyce's memory verse, maybe last month or so. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. You have heard this scripture. What does be still mean? Be still is derived from the Hebrew word, rapha, which means to be weak, to let go, to release, essentially meaning surrender. There are not many arrests in Japan, police arrests, but in my country, when the police come to arrest you, one of the first things you do is to surrender. Don't try to fight back or do anything. Surrender by lifting your hands up. And so to be still means to surrender. What are we surrendering? Some of the things I've already mentioned. Just let them go and be still. Then to know, be still and know that I am God. You have heard the word know before in the Bible. Know has a totally different meaning from the physical, from the one we know every day know. The word for know is, the Hebrew word for know is yada, which means experimental knowledge. In fact, this word is used to describe marital intimacy. Why do we talk about this? Genesis chapter 4 verse 4, King James says, Adam knew his wife Eve. You have heard about it. What does new mean? It means intimacy. And the New International Version makes it made love. So in stillness, we get to know God, to experience him. Maybe you've never experienced God. You know about God. You read about God. You're preached about God. You've never experienced God. Honestly speaking, if there is any habit I can recommend to you today, it's the habit of stillness. Because there is nothing we desperately need as Christians than to know God. And the Bible is telling us, when you are still, you will know God. You will experience him. Maybe you never have any personal experience of God. You always wonder, why do people say they experienced God? Why do people say they heard God instructing them? Why do people say this and this? You can have it for yourself by practicing stillness. Let me just read something to you about stillness. Imagine you're standing on a hill by yourself. A stream trickles, a river beside you, while birds are chirping happily above you. The sun beats down on your face while a gentle breeze blows by. Everything looks calm and quiet. But your mind is racing through a list of tasks you've left undone, problems you can't solve, brokenness you can't fix. Although you are in a tranquil place, the sound of your own thoughts is keeping you from enjoying what is happening around you. So I wrote this question: what will take for you to pause, silence the noise, and be still? We are usually so anxious and so afraid and so scared and so worried about tomorrow. So many things are making noise in our minds, but the Bible encourages us that we can still silence all these noises and practice stillness in the presence of God. And God will fight for us. You remember the children of Israel? Moses told them, be still. The Lord will fight for you, because they had an enemy behind them, following them. And there is a sea ahead of them. They are like, what's going to happen? God called us, but then we are by ourselves. They were told, be still and know that God is going to fight for you. So I want you to know that when you are still, you pay attention to what God is doing in and around you. It will help you realize things that you had never realized before, but they are in your life. God is doing them, but you can only see or hear them when you silence everything else. Stillness also allows God to refocus our vision and tune our ears to his voice while we give him the noise inside of us. So I challenge you today, go and practice stillness. Most of the time it's recommended you go away in nature or somewhere. Or most of the things that distract us are things like phones. Have you ever thought you can stay out of Facebook for a day, out of WhatsApp? Just put aside things that distract you most of the time. Then practice stillness. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it, and may God guide you on how he wants you to do it, but you can do it, and you will see amazing results. The habit of, The habit of fasting. I think this is my last one. I hope so, because time is gone. Bible in Matthew 6:16 says, when you fast, when Jesus says when, it means he expects us to do it. I'm not, as I said, spiritual disciplines are not necessity for our salvation, but they are necessity for our growth. I don't know if you ever fast. I don't know what you think about when we talk about fasting. It could be like diet, like Tim is eating salad today. That's a kind of fasting, you know. Or people who willingly starve themselves. Or maybe you are that person who never wants to think about fasting. But fasting is not easy. Let me tell you, it's not easy. The first time I fasted, I was like, I'm going to die. My goodness, I'm going to die. I didn't die. Let me give you a funny story. Some of you know Dr. Miles Monroe. He died in an accident some years back. He was a servant of God. I listened to him a lot. One day he was talking about fasting, because in Japan, I haven't seen this, but we were talking with Tim and Pastor Kevin, Pastor Chris and Austin about this. In my country and also in America, some churches practicing corporate fasting, especially the beginning of the year, 21-day fasting. And so I'm not saying you do that, but as the Spirit of God leads you, do what you can be able to do. So Pastor Miles Monroe was talking about 21-day fasting because his church was doing that at that time. And so he made a funny comment. He was preaching, and he's Genki. He's alive. He's well. And he says, for those of you who fear fasting because you think you will die, look at me. I'm here. I've been doing it. Maybe it was day 20 or something. I'm still alive. I'm not dead. So you're not going to die. So maybe you're scared about fasting. I want to challenge you today. You can start in little bits. There are different kinds of fasting. Whatever that works well for you, start. But start small and then grow. Start with fewer days and then increase to bigger days. I'm telling you, you can only know the benefits of fasting when you do it. People diet, especially in Japan. People diet. People go without meals. It's so easy to diet. But then when it comes to fasting, it's difficult, because the devil knows it's a weapon. It's a spiritual discipline. The devil doesn't want you to practice any spiritual discipline, because he knows the tremendous change that you'll experience. So you've never fasted, I recommend you try it. Some people fast on water only. Some people fast on drinks only. It's called the Daniel fast. Let me just mention the Daniel fast. My friend, most of you know, some of you know Pamela, the lady from Ghana. She visited us here once. She's a spiritual sister I really admire. And I told you I'll be sharing people I see and I learn from. This lady is just an amazing servant of God. I like honoring servants of God. I've seen God using her in that. Pamela, she likes sending voice messages to her friends. She once sent me a voice message and I listened. God has shown her something that was going on in my life. I testified here, but I didn't say the individual. Now I can say, because I've seen how she practices spiritual disciplines. And I asked her, how did you know what I'm going through? Said, I don't know. God just told me to record this message and send to you. Why am I talking about her? She's written a book called The Daniel Fast. She just put it on Amazon, and please, if you want to read it, ask me. I'll share with you the link. She'll be so happy to hear that you all want to read about the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast, you know about the story of Daniel, most of you. He went with only vegetables and fruits. That's a kind of fast that is recommended, especially for longer periods. Like you want to do 21 days, you can do that. Or you can do like 2 meals in a day, and then you eat in the evening. That's what most of us do in our churches for longer periods. But for shorter periods, you can do it just water. these are my personal recommendations to you. I know Pastor Chris is going to preach about fasting. I'm sure he will tell us a lot of amazing things. But this is a spiritual discipline we can practice, and it will help us. I have to finish. Jesus fasted. I read at the beginning of the sermon. Jesus fasted 40 days. And when he talked with his disciples, he assumed they would practice. That's why he said, when you fast. Fasting is intentionally creating space in our lives to hear God by removing things that give us immediate satisfaction. It could even be social media. I do fast from social media. I just decide I'm not checking Facebook. I don't care who will look for me for what. Let me stay away for a week. It can be social media. It can be anything that you're really so involved in that it takes so much of your attention. I don't know. Each one of us knows the things that we can fast from to devote ourselves to God. Please do. Food is, of course, the basic one, the starting point. But also anything that gets your mind so occupied and so devoted, you can fast from it and just experience God. Fasting can feel uncomfortable because our world glorifies pleasure. Most of the things we fast from are pleasurable. I love eating. I can't wait to break my fast and eat, you know. But when you fast, it gives you an opportunity to experience great joy, because true joy is only found when our strength comes from Jesus. And this is a personal experience. When you fast, you really feel hungry, especially when it's time for meals like lunchtime. And if you sit in a shared office like me, people are opening their bentos and the smell is like, phew, and you're fasting. So usually that time is the time when you should start to talk to God. If possible, use the lunchtime break for prayers. If you have a park in your workplace or at school, go there and then talk to God. Because that's the time you're telling your body, my strength comes from God. And the story we read about Jesus, he said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. And so you're disciplining your body and telling your body, come on, my body, I don't live by bread alone. Today, Boreen led us in the song that says, fill me. How will you be filled when you're not empty? Spiritual disciplines are things that are emptying you of yourself so that you can be filled with God. But if you're full, always full, your cup is full, plate is full. God doesn't have a place to fill you up. But when you sacrifice and give yourself to God through these spiritual disciplines like fasting, you're emptying your cup, you're emptying yourself so that you can eat from the bread of life and then be able to drink from the cup of life, and your life will surely be changed. Just before I finish fasting, what does fasting, I just wrote 3 points on why fasting is really helpful for us. First, when you fast, you starve yourself from what stops you from experiencing God. Those things are not bad things. Food is not bad, but it may be stopping you from experiencing God. Fast from it. Number two, fasting invites us to give up something we love, to make space for something we love even more. If I will ask you, do you love burger or you love God? You say, I love God. We love both of them, but we love God more. Fasting will help us realize that loving God more is more beneficial to me, and get back to your food as soon as you can. Finally, fasting often comes before a breakthrough. When we read in the Bible, people fasted. Esther, she fasted with her people, and they got a breakthrough. Moses fasted when he went to receive the Ten Commandments. Daniel fasted for 3 weeks, and then he received the vision that we read about Daniel. Jesus himself fasted, and after fasting, he was able to overcome temptations, and then he began his ministry. So fasting will precede a breakthrough in your life. You don't even know what it is, but it will come. Because of your time dedicated to God. So, sorry, I'm always going. Caution about spiritual habits. As I conclude, this is what I want to say. I said it at the beginning. Spiritual disciplines are not earning us salvation. They are not earning us favor with God. Why? I'll just get these two scripture quotations. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. We know the story of Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel. You know what he did. And this is Samuel came to him to tell him, what you've done is not good. You disobeyed the Lord. And Samuel said, okay, I'm offering sacrifices to God, part of the things that I kept. He disobeyed the Lord. And Samuel said to him, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. We should remember that spiritual habits are not the end goal. Remind yourself that over and over again. The goal is to have a deeper, intimate relationship with God. Spiritual habits add value when they reflect obedient, grounded in God's love, not some kind of half-hearted obligation. So don't go home today feeling like, oh, I need to fast. I don't know how to, but I need to fast. You know, how many times should I fast? You know, don't focus so much on the spiritual disciplines that you forget our ultimate goal of obedience to God. Ephesians 3 verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. God is not expecting us to grow spiritually on our own. So it's not those efforts you'll be doing that will make you grow on your own. He's assuring us that there is my power working in you. It's not all about you and how much you can resist temptations and how much you can resist food, how much you can resist social media, how much you can spend time meditating on your word. It's not all about your energy. It is God who gives us the power in us. And that's the power that is working in us. So remind yourself constantly, I'm not doing this by myself or for myself. It's God who is working in me to bring himself glory. I'll go back to the scripture reference that I gave. Jesus fasted, he prayed, and he resisted temptation. One of the benefits of spiritual disciplines is you'll be able to resist temptation. I don't know what temptation you have. We all have different temptations. Some of us is getting angry and talking nasty things. We know they disobey the law, but we do them anyway because we are tempted to do it and we find ourselves you have done it. Whatever temptation it is, spiritual disciplines will give you the energy to resist them. And Jesus also was able to go and begin his ministry soon after the fasting and spending time with God. We know that Jesus prayed every morning. The Bible says he could go by himself and seek God. Spiritual habits will also know God's call in your life. As a Christian, God has called you, but it's up to you to find out what God exactly wants you to do. We are disciples of Jesus. We are not just called to come and sit down. I'm sorry to say this, but God has a call for every one of us. And maybe you don't know what it is. Practice one of the spiritual disciplines and tell God, I want to know your call for my life. Whom do you want me to minister to? Whom do you want me to reach out to? Or what do you want me to do with my life? I was with my sister Larissa. Most of you know her. She comes here. She's from Gabon. And I love her also because she's a sister in Christ. And we were listening to a sermon together when she came to my house. It was titled, Knowing the Will of God in Your Life. And we were agreeing with her that we need to pray, me, myself and her, because she's also reached a time where she wants to know where God is leading her. Should I stay in Japan? Should I go to my country? What work should I apply for? What should I do? Even things such as what you can do with your life, you can practice spiritual habits so that God makes them clear to you. This is what I wrote. Spiritual habits help you to hear God in terms of clarity. God makes it clear where he wants you to go, what he wants you to do. But he also gives you strength, especially strength to continue being a Christian or strength to overcome temptation. And finally, you get breakthrough in your Christian life. So that's the end of my sermon today. And I hope you've gotten something that will go and help you grow deeper in your relationship with God. I know most of you are believers. It's all about knowing God more, allowing God to change you and draw you closer to himself. If you feel like that you cannot practice these things by yourself, feel free to talk to our pastors or our leaders or myself so that we can even do them together, you know. Or maybe you need an exact example of how you can do these spiritual habits. Feel free to reach out and you can do them and God will bless you. So that's the end of the sermon. I will just close with a prayer and then we transition. Today is the first Sunday of the month, so we are going to have the Holy Communion. So let's just give thanks because of the sermon. Father, I thank you for your word today. You have spoken to us, and I believe everyone has got something. It's not everything that was meant for them, but there's something specific that everyone was to hear today and go home. And as we go, help us to practice these things, because you set an example for us. And if you set an example for us, you're there to give us the strength to do the same things, and we will experience amazing things in our lives that you will do, because as we draw closer to you, you draw closer to us. So bless your children today. I commit the moment of Holy Communion in your hands, Lord, as we share the bread of life and the blood that was shed on the cross for us. Help us to realize that you set the example for us by dying on the cross and giving yourself, sacrificing yourself, showing us that there's nothing we cannot sacrifice for you, O God, and that you will not bring back joy and strength and clarity in our lives. So bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.